Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 150, and we'll read all the verses. Psalm 150, verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The sermon this morning is entitled, Let Everything That Has Breath Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, the psalmist cries out with joy. And just how much reason do we have to praise the Lord on this Sunday morning? We've been apart for months, and some of us have not seen each other since the COVID pandemic started some 6 months ago. Like the ancient Israelites' exile in Egypt, we've really been exiled from this place of worship, haven't we? But despite that, we've been blessed by our gracious God, blessed to be able to join together in worship remotely, blessed to be provided for spiritually as well as physically, and blessed to be able to keep in contact with each other in other ways. And this morning we are blessed even more, for we can worship our God together as his people here in his church for the first time in half a year. What a blessing that is! What a privilege! Praise the Lord! Praise him, as the psalmist says. Brothers and sisters, this is what Psalm 150 tells us to do, to worship the God who has given us life and to worship him with our praises. The previous four psalms are praise psalms too. Together they're called the Hallel Psalms because they all start with the word Hallelujah or praise the Lord. And they also all end with that call to praise. But there's something special about the last psalm. It's the culmination, the high point, the climax, not only of these five psalms, but also of the whole book of psalms. It's a symphony of praise, for time and time again in this psalm, we are called to praise the Lord, 13 times in all, in fact. And that's not all, for we are not just told that we have to praise the Lord, we're also told where and why and how we are to praise him. Verse 1 tells us where we should praise the Lord. Verse 2 tells us why we should praise him. Verses 3 to 5 tell us how we should praise him. And verse 6 tells us who should praise him. Let's look first at verse 1, which tells us where we should praise the Lord. Listen again to this verse that says, Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. The first thing that the psalmist tells us is that God is to be praised in his sanctuary. But what does this word sanctuary mean? Does it mean just in a place of safety? Does it mean just something like a church or a temple? It certainly includes both of those aspects. At the time that this was written, the ancient Israelites would have come to Jerusalem to present their sacrifices and their praises to God at the temple. That was their sanctuary. Of course, we no longer have a temple, but we do gather here together in God's house, and it is right and proper for us to join together here in our praise of our God. Can you imagine what a worship service would look like if, for instance, we did not praise God in song, if we did not come before him in songs of approach, humbling ourselves before him? How about songs of confession or songs of response? What if we did not come before the Lord with a song of gratitude when we celebrate the Lord's Supper? What would it be like if we did not close our worship with a song like Majesty or Now Unto Him Who Is Able To Keep, lifting up the glorious name of our Lord? Friends, we are here to praise our God in song, but also with our adoration, listening to his word, praying to him, and thanking him for all the blessings with which he so graciously blesses us. As we enter his gates this morning, we are to do so with thanksgiving. As we enter his courts, we are to do so with praise in our hearts as well as on our lips. For we are here this morning to do what that beautiful hymn written some 350 years ago tell us to do, to praise God from whom all blessings flow, to praise him, all creatures here below. But beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the call of the psalmist doesn't just have to do with what happens here on a Sunday morning or what happens in a worship service. Yes, it does have to do with that, but there's so much more to it than that. For you and I live in the end times. We are not living in the BC times. No, we're living in the AD times. We live in the time after the coming of Jesus. Christ has fulfilled all the prophecies, and he has taken our sin upon himself. You and I, and everyone whom the Lord has blessed with faith in Jesus, has been made new in Christ. And this is of huge importance, because we have been made new. The Spirit of God lives in us. Listen to how Paul puts it. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Yes, friends, we are the temple of God. We, you and I, are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. So to praise God in his sanctuary also means that we ought to be praising God wherever we are, wherever we go, with whoever we are. This is to be a feature of your life and mine, not just here on Sunday morning, not just when we are doing churchy type things, not just when we are with other believers, but in everything we do. Praising God isn't reserved for a church service. Praising God doesn't have to wait till you get to attend church again. If that was the case, it would have meant that in the past 6 months we did not have to praise God at all. Perhaps a good way of looking at it is to say that we come together here on a Sunday as God's people to worship and glorify and honor and praise him, and also to be nourished and fed by his word. And then to go out into the world continuing to praise and glorifying him with our lives. So when your employer recognizes your hard work, praise the Lord. When your wife gives birth to a baby, praise the Lord. When the church reopens and we have the privilege to meet as his people, praise the Lord, even if we have to sit far apart or in different buildings. When your children get a job in a faraway place, praise the Lord. Not because you're glad that they'll be out of your hair, but because you know that the Lord is providing for them. And also praise him when things are not going so great. Praise him when you leave the doctor's office with that not so good news, for you know that he will always, always, always be with you, even in times of trouble. And that is surely worthy of thanksgiving praise. Yes, we are to praise the Lord in our everyday lives, here below on this broken earth, just as the angels and the heavenly beings praise him in heaven, which is where the second part of verse 1 points us to. The book of Revelation tells us how all the heavenly beings praise God with delight. What an example that is for us. No matter where we find ourselves, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, let us show whom we belong to by praising his name. Frances Havergal put it something like this in her beautiful song, Jesus, Master, Whose I Am. Lord, you do not need the service I can bring, but I long to prove and show full allegiance to my King. You are an honor to me. Let me be a praise to thee. That's the call on your life and mine, to praise the King and to let our lives be a praise to him. But why should we praise him? In verse 2, the psalmist gives us two reasons. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. We are to praise God for what he has done and for who he is. God's mighty power is displayed in his deeds, the things that he has done. His power is displayed in his beautiful creation. From the smallest molecule that science can find to the entire universe in all its splendor and all its majesty. from the deepest sea to the highest mountain, and everything in between. The people to whom the psalmist originally wrote would have seen and known about the splendor and majesty of God's creation just by looking up to the skies. They could look around them and see the mountaintops and the sea, and they would have known about how the Lord had protected and guided them. They would have known about his mighty power in rescuing them and redeeming them from the slavery of Egypt. And dearest friends, isn't God's wonderful redemption of his people from the slavery of sin displayed in the coming of his Son, in our Lord and Saviour Jesus? How much more reason do you and I have to rejoice in the mighty deeds of the Lord? Think just for a moment how marvelously God has dealt with you. Before you were even born, yes, even before the foundation of the world, he chose you. Even when you were dead in your sins, in his amazing love, he sought you out. He placed faith in your heart. He has brought you to a living faith and has given you a living hope. How graciously has the Almighty God dealt with each one of us. Yes, God has indeed done marvelous things, and for that he is worthy of praise. But this psalm also reminds us that God is worthy of praise because of who he is. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of lords. He is the mighty King whom we adore and to whom we bow down. He is the great and sovereign King who is above all the so-called gods. Everything in heaven and earth is subject to him. He is holy, loving, gracious, merciful, good, and compassionate. And his steadfast love endures forever. And just for that alone, he's worthy of all praise. But listen to what else the book of Psalm tells us about who God is. The Lord is our rock, our fortress and our shield. He's the shepherd who provides for our every need. He's our defender. He's the great watchman who watches over us even during our darkest times. He's our helper on whom we can call any time of the day or night. And he is our Father, the one who formed us in the womb. And folks, this is just in the Psalms. The rest of the Bible has even more to say. How much do we have to be thankful for? Praise the Lord for who he is and for what he has done. Yes, let us praise this magnificent God here in church and also as we go about our daily business. May our lives sing out how great is our God. God has blessed us with the ability to do that. Praise him by what you think. Praise him by what you read. Praise him by what you do. Praise him by how you do it. Praise him by what you say. Praise him by how you say it. Praise him with a song in your heart, and praise him with a song on your lips. Brother, sister, friend, praise the Lord for who he is and for what he has done in your life. As we move on to verses 3 to 5, we hear how the Lord is to be praised. 6 times the psalmist commands, praise him. Praise the Lord, he says, with trumpet sounds, with lute and harp and tambourine, with strings and pipe and with cymbals. Now please don't get the wrong idea here. This isn't a list of instruments that we are supposed to use. It isn't about the instruments at all. It's about why and how we use them. You see, the psalmist is calling on believers to praise the Lord with everything at their disposal. What we see in these verses is a masterpiece of praise. Now, I know that there are a couple of voices in the church that are not quite masterpieces, and that includes mine. But you see, our praise does not come from the type of instrument that we use or the quality of the voice that we have. Praise comes from what is in our heart. We might be guided by the notes that the composer put down on paper, and we might even have good voices. But if our praise does not come from our hearts, we might as well be clanging cymbals. We may sing with the most beautiful of voices, but if it is to hear ourselves or to be praised by others, then we are not really praising God. The praises that come from hearts focused on the Lord are true praises indeed. It's what's in the heart that matters. It has to do with what attitude we come before God in worship and in praise. It's about our motives. And that, of course, has to do not only with our singing or our making music, but also with how we approach God in prayer and how we praise Him in our scripture readings and in our preaching. It's a matter of the heart. You may have noticed that the psalmist also talks about praising God with dancing. Now, there are many references to dancing in the Old Testament, but they do not refer to dancing in formal worship. Remember also that this psalm isn't just about worship in a church setting, but about all of life worship. So even when we are out dancing, we should do that in a way that honors and praises the Lord. We are to praise the Lord with voice, yes, but also with our bodies. Now that doesn't mean we should all jump up and dance here in church, although that would be quite a sight to behold. Let me just point out that God is a God of order. However we worship and praise Him, it should be in good and proper order and with reverence and awe. I've used this illustration before, but let me tell you again of a young chap in his 20s in one of our previous congregations. Whenever a song was played, he would gently sway to the music. There was nothing disrespectful about that. In fact, it was very reverent, for it was an outpouring of where this young man's heart was at. He was worshipping God with voice and with body. Somehow I think God would have been very pleased with this young man's praise. The point is that our joy of being saved, our joy of being able to come before the God who has saved us, that rejoicing should be reflected in our praise too. Whether it is singing with a beautiful voice or a crackly one, or whether it is with some swaying or not. That's what the psalmist is on about here, praising God with everything we have in an awe-filled manner, a reverent manner. In the first five verses, the psalmist tells us where the Lord should be praised or worshipped. Everywhere. He tells us that the Lord is worthy of praise because of who He is and what He has done. He also tells us how the Lord is to be praised with everything. And as we turn to the last verse, he also tells us who should praise the Lord. Listen again to what verse 6 tells us. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The answer as to who should praise the Lord is quite straightforward, isn't it? Everyone and everything that breathes. Just like the Lord is worthy of all praise on earth and in heaven and everywhere in between, so too is He worthy of praise from all living things. All of creation was created to bring glory to the Almighty Creator God. Praise isn't an optional extra. Praising God doesn't depend on how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't depend on whether you've done a profession of faith or not. In the words of Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all nations, extol Him, all peoples. Praising God doesn't depend on when you're feeling down or feeling great. It doesn't depend on how hard you've worked this week. It doesn't depend on whether you have a boss or if you work for yourself or if you don't work at all. And it isn't dependent on who you are or what you have. The command at the end of verse 6 is simply, hallelujah, praise the Lord. While everything that has breath is tasked with praising the Lord, the fact that a believer has a relationship with this awesome God is what drives his or her praise forward. It comes from recognizing that praising God is what you've been created to do. It comes from consciously focusing on who God is and what He has done and is doing in your life. You see, dearest friends, if Christ lives in us, then praising God can never just be a routine or an inconvenient task that we do here on a Sunday morning. No, if Christ is in us, then surely, surely praising God is a joy and a delight. And as you praise Him, don't forget to thank Him also for each of those breaths with which He blesses you day by day. Psalm 150 tells us that the Lord is to be praised everywhere. It tells us that He is to be praised for everything He is and everything He does. It tells us that everyone is to praise Him, and it also tells us how He is to be praised with every breath, with all that we are. But we know that this isn't happening in the world in which we live. It's not even happening in all the churches where His name is proclaimed. But when Christ returns, this psalm will become a marvelous reality. A great multitude from all the nations will stand before the Lamb and sing, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb." And the angels and the heavenly beings will praise God, saying, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." But friends, we can already do that right now. We have the privilege, the unimaginable privilege, of being able to call the mighty Creator God our Father. The one who spoke the universe into being, the one who is always with us, He has also given us His Son to redeem us, to give us eternal life, to make us part of His royal family. This is your God. He is the one who has saved you and will sustain you and strengthen you. And He is worthy of all your praise. This almighty, compassionate, gracious, and faithful God is worthy of all praise. How is this working out in your life? How is it working out in the life of this church? How do we praise God? Is it our desire and delight to bring Him praise wherever we are, for who He is and for what He has done in our lives and in the life of our congregation? How willing are we to praise God with every breath? I pray that with every breath we take, every moment we're awake, we can sing, "Lord, I give You my heart, I give You my soul, I live for You alone. With all I have within me, I give You praise." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, God breathed His breath into us to give us life, so that we might breathe it back to Him in praise and worship. There's only one qualification for praising God, and that is that you are breathing. Are you alive? Are you breathing? Then praise God. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for what He has done. Praise Him for what He continues to do in your life. Praise Him with all that you are. Praise Him even with your last breath. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we reflect on Your word this morning, we thank You for the way that the Psalms show us how we ought to praise You. We praise You, O Lord, because You are trustworthy. We praise You because You are the Creator of this world, and we praise You because You are the Father who sustains and upholds all of us. We praise You that we can be the people that You love. We praise You because You are faithful to Your promises, and we praise You because You have redeemed us through Jesus. Father, as Your children, we recognize that through the ups and downs of life, You are a faithful and loving God. Help and teach us to lean on You, to trust You, to depend on You, and to always praise You with all of our hearts and all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.